Well, good morning. That was our men's retreat last month. It was amazing. And so they just kind of, ladies, get ready. I believe Beth has is planning a women's retreat 2026. And so what we're going to do probably is wait. The next men's retreat will be 2027. We're just going to kind of piggyback them each year. But man, what a great time. What a blessing it was to have Pastor Holland and out to teach. Also, as Pastor Clay said, there's a lot of different, obviously, through the Bible reading programs. And there's chronological, there's a number of different ones. What we've chosen is the Blue Letter Bible. And so they're out on the thing if you want to do that. But I'm just encouraging the body to pick this up and read through the Bible, do our yearly reading together. And so as we go along and talk to Pastor Kevin and talk to the elders, maybe on a weekly basis come up and share, something that just really jumped out that really spoke to us during the week as we're going through that. And so to kind of keep all of us in tune with sticking with that. So why don't you open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5 as we continue our study through Timothy, as Paul ministers to a young man put in the position of pastor of Ephesus. But we need to understand too that they really were the ministries of the surrounding churches, the seven churches of Revelation, Philadelphia and Smyrna and Pergamos and Laodicea, and Ephesus, that was kind of the central church that sent out and started the works in those other churches. So there was a great responsibility put upon Timothy. And so Paul, not only encouraging and exhorting Timothy to really take ownership of the calling and that God had put on his life as the pastor, but then also instructing him in Christian conduct, how the church is to operate and conduct itself, how leaders, what are the qualifications of leaders within the church. And so we've been going through that. And we're going to pick up at verse 17. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, we want to, Lord, follow your word. We want to conduct ourselves in a way that would honor you, Lord, in our lives, not just the leaders, but Lord, you've called each and every one of us sons and daughters. Lord, we want to please our Father. And so, Lord, we pray that you would minister to each of us individually and, Lord, to the church corporately as we survey your word, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that you have given us, revealed your heart to us, Lord. You haven't left us to figure it out on our own, Lord. That'd be chaos. But, Lord, to walk in unity and in harmony in your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we desperately need you, and especially this day, in these days when the world is raging. Lord, there's chaos in the world, spiritual darkness. Lord, we just pray that you would bring light in this place. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and 14 through 16, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of the ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. And so Paul, now the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul and instructing him and in how to instruct the church in especially, and we see he talks about doctrine throughout this letter, and actually all of the pastoral letters, that doctrine, godly instruction, is so important for the church, and especially today, because we see the church going in all different directions, much of it not certainly, you know, I think is best practices, socially engineered, but not in, you know, instructed, not good sound doctrine as instructed through God's word. And he says, this is how you're to conduct yourself in the church, but we also see Paul saying, this is how the church is to conduct itself as a family. We're to reject false teaching and false doctrine, instruct the body in how they are to conduct themselves. Concerning those who are older, they're to be respected. And concerning widows, single women, and families within the church, how the church is to support widows and how families are to support those of their own family. At the beginning of chapter 3, Paul gives the qualifications, remember, for elders and pastors and also for deacons. There are some who want the church to operate as a democracy. There are some church governments that are set up that way. We've talked about the presbytery, the congregational, the other one. We're mocked amongst the churches in churchdom in Calvary Chapel. We believe that God raises up a man to lead, and that there are elders that are raised up to help govern or oversee the church. That's what we see in the Bible. We call it the Moses model. Some think that that's not, you know, how the church is to operate, but we believe that that's the way it works best. We need to understand that the church is not a democracy. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and the church leadership is to be in order. It is not a democratic setting. It is led by men that are called to pastor or eldership. There are people that struggle with that term pastor even today. There are offshoots of the church that don't have pastors because they don't find pastor in the Bible. And so there's a group of elders, and then there's a teaching elder and this elder. It's semantics. But we know that we get pastor from the word shepherd, which we're instructed to, right? Shepherd those that are the flock that are among us. And so, it's no different than the argument of those who don't believe that Christ is coming before the great tribulation to take his church up, catch them away. We say rapture. Well, rapture's not found in the Bible. I know that. It's just it's the translation of the original Greek. It's the Latin translation of the original Greek, harpazo. It's very clearly taught in the Bible that there is going to be a snatching away of the church by force, which we call the rapture. But some people say there's no rapture because you don't find rapture. Well, but those same people, if you talk about the Trinity of the church, and the Trinity, they understand doctrinally that the church stands upon the Trinity. Well, you don't find Trinity in the Bible anywhere, but you do see in many places where it is evident that God is three in one. And so, you know, it's just a straw man argument that man comes up with so that they can kind of interject their own ideas. But there are pastors. We have pastors and elders here, but led by men. And so it's not a democracy. Pastor, elder is not a certificate that's attained at a seminary or a school of theology that determine, you know, that one passed the required prerequisites for ministry. That's put too many people in the pulpits who are not called. And the result is clearly evident as we see a great falling away from sound biblical instruction for the order and conduct within the church. This is about roles and functions and order for men and women in the body of Christ. There are many in the church who struggle with the things that Paul writes, especially because of our Western culture, where we're, you know, our civil governance is democratic. In fact, they struggle with it so much that some of the church just says, Paul's writings are just supplemental, but they're not authoritative. I want to add this caveat. There is an exercise of democracy in, and I've already, you know, and I'm honest with you all, there is an exercise of a type of democracy within the body of Christ here at Calvary Chapel of Oakland County. And that is, you will all vote with your feet. Your feet will either bring you here or your feet will take you somewhere else. And I don't say that, you know, in a snide way or to upset anybody, but if you're looking for a democracy, you have that option. Now, Paul is going to address church conduct concerning elders and pastors, and it says in verse 17, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." Who rule well? Though, and that word rule is those who, it's to stand before, to practice, or maintain. You could say that those who practice what they preach are worthy of double honor. The same instruction of godliness for the body of Christ, listen, applies to pastors and elders. Paul says those called to lead are actually held even to a higher standard, and we need to take that into consideration. In many cases, pastors, elders act as if they're immune from these standards. Their life and how they conduct themselves in daily life do not match up with those things, that the standards that the Bible sets for conduct of pastors and elders. Their life is, you know, their life and how they conduct themselves, it doesn't match up. It's the same word that's used in chapter 3 for the elders who rule their own home well. Paul says, if they are not a godly example at home, how then can they rule the church and stand before the church and instruct it in righteousness and godly living? Elder applies to those who govern, those that are in its overseer of the body of Christ, but there are also the elders who are given to teach and instruct the church. And as I had said before, a shepherd or a pastor. Paul says they are worthy of double honor. That word honor can mean recognition, respect for those that are called to that position. It also carries the specific meaning. The Greek word has a meaning of compensation, monetary compensation. So it is biblical for pastors, those who are called, who lead by example in godly conduct, and especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, are to receive compensation, monetary compensation. 1 Corinthians 9:10 through 14, Paul wrote, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of this hope, of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offering of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Peter himself, writing in his first letter, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, says, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock, pastor the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, and not for dishonest gain. The idea of pastoring should not be to enrich oneself, which we see happening in so many churches today, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock, the very same thing Paul is saying, that we're to be examples, that we are to stand before, you know, maintain that godliness before the body of Christ, nor as being lords over those entrusted, being examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And so Paul says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Paul first quoting Deuteronomy 25:4, and it just made, you know, listen, you don't starve the ox who is laboring. You know, the labor that they do is to tread out the grain that is providing food for you. It makes absolutely zero sense. You want that ox to be well and healthy so that it can carry out its task and purpose so that it can provide for you. That's what God has called me to, labor in the word and doctrine that you might be well fed to provide for the body of Christ. Fact is, I'm just an ox, a big ox. And I'm okay with that. The church today is anemic because it has so many pastors laboring in social issues and humanist values instead of in the Word of God. During the emergent apostasy, many pastors believed that they needed to spend less time studying God's Word and preparing a message for the flock, and so that they could spend more time engaging the people. Nothing wrong with engaging the people. But Kevin, Pastor, I remember Pastor Kevin and I were talking about this in his office, and at the time you could get your message in a box or message in a can, and it came with props and everything, message already prepared for you, so you didn't have to do any of the preparation yourself. How sad is that? And the one that they were promoting had a clown nose. You get a clown nose, and, you know, now you have pastors riding on trains on, stage, all kinds of ridiculous things. Time spent on things that are of no value for the body of Christ. And it's anemic. They believe that they needed to spend less time, you see, but relationship is important. Pastors being approachable and tending to the flock should absolutely be a part of the pastor's ministry. Paul says we are bondservants, doulos, that is under rowers. Those were the guys in the belly of the ship that were manning the oars. Actually, they were prisoners. They were chained by their feet to the bottom of the boat. And if they didn't row, they died. The ship didn't go anywhere without the doulos, and they couldn't abandon the ship when things got hard. Pastors are not to be hirelings. We are under rowers. You notice it says, he didn't say that rule over. He says rule well. We're not above the people. We're under, laboring to get the church to its ultimate destination. Our ultimate hope is to be with our Lord and Savior forever. I'm just a clod for God. An ox laboring in the word and in doctrine, making sure that you are well fed with the spiritual food of the Word of God. The laborer, it says, is worthy of his wages. Paul citing the very words of Jesus Christ in Luke 10:7. Notice Paul says that the scripture says. We got to take notice of this, because this is under attack in the church today, coming out of a very popular ministry, Andy Stanley. Paul likely knew of the apostles' writings. And Luke actually was one who accompanied Paul on much of his missionary journey. And Paul, citing Luke 10:7, no doubt they had that conversation. There's a heresy in the church suggesting the church needs to abandon the Old Testament. And no longer should we be saying the Bible says. The claim is this: the disciples didn't have the Bible, right? So we can only go off their experience as they walked with Jesus. Paul didn't walk with Jesus, so his writings really have no authority. They're just supporting. Okay, let's play the deception of semantics for a moment. They didn't have the Bible, but they did have the Old Testament writings, which Jesus quoted from extensively, giving it full authority. The volume, Jesus said, the volume of the book is written of me. In Acts, we're told that the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the apostles' teaching. It just as Paul wrote here, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. He died for the sins of the world that you and I might know, have a hope of eternity with him. He gave his life a sacrifice for us. The scripture refers to those letters as the gospel, or it refers to those letters and the gospel that were being written by the apostles at that time. Paul says the Old Testament scripture and the new writings are the scripture. You see that there? It is all the scripture. We know, 2 Peter 3:15, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all the epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction as they do the rest of the scriptures. It's all the scriptures. All. We say the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and that the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. All of it is the scripture, what we call today the Bible. So not only did the disciples and apostles have the scriptures, at the same time, the Holy Spirit was through the apostles completing the whole revealed word of God that we hold in our hands today. Semantics, the Bible. It's the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we know this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is, teaching what is right for reproof, so that we might be taught what is not right for correction, continuing to stay in those things that are right, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is all inspired by God. And here we will not abandon any of it. I want you to be assured that every word that applies to the church applies to its leadership and applies to the leadership here. It doesn't just apply to you. It's not for us to rule over the church, but to serve as examples, to stand before and practice and maintain the instruction of right conduct that we find in God's word in the Bible. All that to say, it is biblical for pastors to be compensated in their labor, in the word and in doctrine. When I was called to ministry, I at the beginning, and at the end of this year will be the end of 19 years in ministry. God has provided, he has been so faithful to Beth and I. But I only received a stipend, a partial compensation. It's all that the church could do at the time. I still had some fundraisers that I was running. I even worked for Lowe's and for Rainbow Tree Service to barely make ends meet for about 11 years until the fellowship, till the God, Lord bless the fellowship, was financially able to support my family with a salary. And I want you to know that Beth are grateful to the body at Calvary Chapel of Oakland County. What you give not only sustains the property, the building, what's needed to operate, you also support Beth and I, the ministry that we have been called to. And know this, when Paul talks about labor, it's a labor to exhaustion, but it's a labor of love. And he says, do not receive, so Paul talks about, you know, eldership and compensation. Now he's going to talk about accusation against the leaders, and it comes. It happens. Not just me. I've heard things said about all the leaders here. He says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Now, that is instruction to Timothy, but y'all need to hear it. You got a problem with any of the leaders here? It better not be opinion. You know, if a couple of people notice that somebody's stepping out of line, speaking in a way that they shouldn't be speaking, then you need to come and you need to talk to me, you need to talk to one of the other leaders, because it needs to be addressed.